Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities. Last week, we had the opportunity to talk with Winona LaDuke, the executive director of Honor the Earth, and she was able to bring us up to date on the Line 3 pipeline project. But one of the things that we didn't take the time to talk about in that interview was that there was an advisory group to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and 12 of the 17 members quit the advisory group, and Winona was one of those people that walked away from it at the middle of the month, and we wanted to get some more information about that. Winona, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us again to talk about this. Why did most of the MPCA advisory group say, okay, we're done?
Because approving this pipeline is absolutely counter to everything that has to do with environmental justice in the state. And you cannot both simultaneously say that you want to commit to justice and then shove a pipeline down the throats of the poorest and most at-risk people in the state of Minnesota. That just doesn't, you know, we were not going to be party to condoning that behavior by the MPCA, no matter how many apologies internally.
Talk about who these the people were on this advisory committee. Who walked away? Was it a majority of people of color? Who were the different people that said, I guess I'm interested in who left and who stayed?
You know, in the leaving and staying, there was no judgment. I mean, some people stayed because they really wanted to continue to work on the process, but the MPCA's Environmental Justice Advisory Group includes both academics, it includes Native, African-American, Latinx, you know, all kind of people of color and non-Native people, white people. And a combination of all of those resigned. And, you know, it is really simply like, why would we spend 4 years putting our good names into the MPCA only to be told that we're going to approve a pipeline and next time we'll have environmental justice, you know, higher on our priorities? It's ridiculous.
Other than not approving the pipeline, I mean, I suppose that there are some people that said, well, you didn't get the result that you wanted, and that's why you walked away. But is there anything that the MPCA could have done to convince people, or was this... Was there anything the MPCA could have done to convince your group of people that they were taking you seriously, or was the approval of the pipeline pretty much the whole point?
Yeah, that would be the whole point, because we had discussed this pipeline project along with a number of other environmental justice issues that the MPCA was dealing with. At each point of a discussion, the advisory group was very clear that we oppose the issuance of these permits. And the MPCA had no reason to issue those permits because neither is Enbridge able to meet the water quality standards of the state of Minnesota, nor is the approval of this pipeline anything which should supersede the health of Minnesota. And what the governor has done is approved a pipeline during a pandemic where we are looking at unleashing, and they are presently unleashing 4,200 workers, many of them from out-of-state union workers, not from here, into the most high-risk communities in the state of Minnesota. And just to be really clear about this, the fact is that Native people, you know, so the Minnesota Hospital Association noted a couple of weeks ago that 6,000 of the frontline health workers were out because of COVID. And Native people ourselves are the highest risk. You know, studies by U.S. News and World Report found that we're the highest impacted racial group of any group in the United States. We're 5.3 times more likely to be hospitalized for COVID than white Americans, and that we are 4 times more likely to contract the disease. And we don't want to be studied after our death. We want to instead be supported in our life.
Winona, there was something that There was something that came out later in the day after we talked last week. I want to say it was Friday, that Red Lake and White Earth have filed a motion for a stay against Line 3. And you talked about that. You said that that was on its way. Can you just recap that briefly for us here? And then there's something else that with regard to environmental justice that I want to talk with you about a little bit.
Yes, I mean, that is right. White Earth and Red Lake Band filed for a stay, you know, also supporting the interests of health workers across the state, telling the governor, you already issued the permits, just give us a stay until the pandemic subsides or there's a safe vaccine. You know, while the governor tweets that we must really honor those dead and redouble our efforts to protect the state, this is a really bad, bad choice if you're going to protect the state of Minnesota.
Do you think that there is a chance that it's going to be heard in time? Isn't Enbridge planning to get going on the project tomorrow?
They're starting today.
They're unrolling.
I mean, I've been sitting here watching trucks go by, and you know, we can expect, you know, these man camp people are in. You know, there is no reason. There is no reason to pull this. And yes, it is absolutely ridiculous. The governor talks about, you know, be committed to the process and the facts. Well, there is an appeal. First of all, there's a stay that is requested by two of the largest tribes in Minnesota because we are already heavily impacted by COVID and heavily impacted by the pipeline. And then in addition to that, the state itself has appealed the certificate of need and the route permit. And if you know, the governor actually believed in justice and a due process, he would allow the appeals to continue and so we could have our day in court. Because when this pipeline was initially approved, things were different. Economics were bad then, but, you know, after that minus $38 a barrel and no other tar sand pipelines being approved, the economics of this pipeline are not good. You know, in the end, the governor's going to get 23 jobs, and those jobs are jobs born of conflict. You know, what we want is a governor who provides leadership instead of, you know, battling his way into these jobs and putting our whole state at risk.
Winona, there was something that I noticed in the national news that I read of interest, and I was wondering briefly, and then I realized, too, who I could ask who was involved in environmental justice issues. There is a push for Representative Deb Haaland, I think I'm pronouncing her name right.
Haaland.
She is a Native American woman. She's a Democrat of New Mexico. And there is a push to have her nominated and named the Interior Secretary. A Native person in charge of public lands. And I was curious about how you reacted to that. And I guess I was also curious about the fact that, about wondering about what difference it would make to have a woman doing that job, in your opinion, as opposed to not, or if that's a distinction that we shouldn't, that we should have evolved past.
Deb Haaland would be an excellent Secretary of Interior. And you know, the fact is that the federal government and the state government have not managed those lands well. The reality is that the rise in endangered species, the number of leases issued to mining and logging companies have really had a significant detriment, you know, been to a significant detriment to the quality of lands managed by the Department of Interior. And, you know, to have somebody who has some long-term experience like an indigenous person would be a really great addition to the Biden administration. You know, more than that, yes, I do believe that, you know, that the time for women's leadership is now and that, you know, let's just be honest. You know, we've had a good couple hundred years of leadership of white men. And I think it's time that they kind of go to the bench and let the rest of us take some leads, because the state of this country, whether it is the banana republic we witnessed in this election, you know, embarrassing this president, to the decline of health, you know, economics and quality of life, and certainly our environment, really merit new leadership. And I'm really, you know, encouraged by the leadership of Deb Haaland and others at the Congress.
Winona, thank you so very much for taking some time to unpack a few of these additional issues for us. I really was interested in your take on a variety of these topics, and it sounds as though we'll be talking with you quite a bit in the weeks to come as we follow the Line 3 process through the courts or wherever it ends up taking us. And thank you again so very much for taking the time to be our guest this morning.
Yes, thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Winona LaDuc is the executive director of Honor the Earth. She joined us this morning as our guest on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. Today's Journey to Wellness is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving health care access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.